Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Join Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith and your host Cole Pepper as they break down the last Jaguars game and look at the next time the Jaguars take the field. We'll also take a dip inside the Gene Pool to see what makes a player stand out at his position. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Barbecue, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in. Happy New Year, everybody. Cole Pepper here, and our final installment of Jaguars Monday for the season, and we're pleased to have Terry McDonough in with us to wrap things up. General manager has some other duties to attend to tonight, so we'll put a bow on the season here, look back and look ahead at the same time. And so, Terry, let me just roll it out to you to start. Give me an overview of what you thought this year. How will you remember this season? It was a pretty tumultuous one, clearly.
Yeah. Hey, Joe. Just want to make sure you're paying attention.
No, I wasn't.
Well, thank you.
There's
thank
a hockey
you for
game
caring.
On, Joe. Yeah. Can't be bothered to be.
They already sorry to lost. Body. I don't care anymore.
Sorry
I'm going
to body.
Home.
This is my 20th year in the NFL, and, you know, it's probably the hardest year that I've been a part of. Obviously, that's everything that's gone on as far as, you know, the coaching change and everything else. But and obviously, the injuries played a big part in a lot of things. And, you know, we ended up with a win, and there's a lot of good things to build on. A lot of young players that are going to come back healthy next year. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be a lot more excited in camp in July and August than we are right now. It's been a long year. It's been a disappointing year, but there are a lot of good things happening, and I'm excited about the future.
You basically have like 1.6 rosters now. If you think about it, I mean, 31 players on IR. Now, obviously not all those guys will be back, and some of them were stopgap and so forth. But a lot of guys who have played in the NFL, you start looking at who's on the injured reserve list and guys who were let go. You're going to have about a roster and a half worth to have to comb through and make your decisions on before free agency gets here and then by the time camp rolls around.
Yeah, it's going to be a healthy situation next summer when you look back at the guys that will be back that have been on IR, and then also the guys that we get in free agency and in the draft. So I'm very looking forward to the spring. The fall's coming to an end, and the scouting process continues. It's definitely going to be a much better year next year than it was this year.
Going forward, what's the next couple of weeks like for the scouting department? What are you guys working on?
Well, we're, you know, right now, one of the funnest parts of being a college scout is January, because there's the seniors that you grade during the fall, and it's the East-West game, the Senior Bowl, a lot of other All-Star games that come and go, but there's always 5, 6, 7 bowl games that you go out and you get a chance to meet and greet the players for the first time. When the players are seniors and they're on the college campus, you don't really interact with them, especially at the larger schools, but this is the first time to get a chance to shake their hand, look them in the eye, and begin the process towards the draft, or continue the process towards the draft.
As far as the draft is concerned, if I ask you right now to write down the top 32 guys in your mind, how many of those guys would be the first-round picks in whatever order when April rolls around? How much change is there from now till then?
There's so much change, because the only way that you can go by it now is what a lot of the seniors that we followed and tracked, but the unknown is the juniors. There's a lot of known juniors that you hear that are speculated about, that some have said they were going to declare, but there's a lot of juniors. Like if you look at last year's draft, there's a handful of juniors, and off the top of my head, I can't name them unless I have it in front of me, that at this point a year ago you would have said who, but they were Leggett from Illinois is a perfect mm-hmm. example. It comes to my mind, Corey Leggett. Mm-hmm. But there'll be those guys that maybe aren't from heralded programs but are really good players that will work their way in the first round. Right now, they haven't even made their intentions known.
Yeah, I don't think Phil Taylor was on anybody's radar.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a handful. If I looked at last year's first-round draft, there's a handful of guys at this time a year ago that were the regular Joe out in the street wouldn't have heard of them.
And so now we've got, again, this next 4 months, you've got free agency back to when it usually is. You've got an not slamming it in the 2 weeks before training camp. And then you've got the draft, so you've got a lot to get ready for here in the coming 3-4 months. What I want to do today on the show, usually we'd spend some time looking back on yesterday's game, but because the season is wrapped up, I want to kind of do a bigger picture look and look at some of the different position groups and look at the roster and see where the roster is and sort of look forward as well and what may happen in the upcoming off season and into the future for some of these guys. I also will let everybody know that we will name the Scout's Eye Unsung Player of the Year today, not just from yesterday's game, but for the year. And, again, you can tweet your answers to me at Cole Pepper. And if you can nail the right name, the guy who is the Scout's Eye Unsung Player of the Year, or Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, either way, if you can do that, you can get the win the autographed football, autographed by the general manager and the unsung player of the year. So there's the Scout's Eye. Apparently the hockey game's over. The
Flyers just scored. That's the tell.
That's the new horn.
I don't know. Should Terry sign the ball this week?
We'd have to get the clearance on that.
That's GM. That's GM's job.
So let's talk about some of the different areas that we want to talk about. And let's start on the defensive side of the football, Terry. I thought the defensive line this year, I mean, you talked about the number of different players who contributed. There were an awful lot of them on that defensive line. So give me an idea as a group what your feeling is on that group. And injuries certainly were a factor with that group this year.
They played hard. Coach Cullen did a very good job with the group. We had some injuries. Obviously, every team goes through injuries, but starting with Aaron Campman, he never fully got healthy from last year. Mm-hmm. And then Austin Lane went down with injury. And people played injured. Tyson Alualu, it's been well documented, he's been playing hurt or injured, however you want to phrase it, for the last 2 years. I'm pretty confident he'll address that this offseason and get well for next year. And Terrence Knighton. Mm-hmm. Throughout a lot of the season, second half of the season was hobbled. But they played through it. It's a group that's deep. We have a lot of depth there at defensive end. And John Chick's another one that we picked up that was playing really well for us. So I think overall we're very happy with the group. Obviously, you'd love to. There's one thing that's been missing here, and it's been the guy that can come in and get 10, 15 sacks. And win early, be a dominant pass rusher. We haven't had that. That's no secret. I think every team covets those guys. Some teams have them, some teams don't. But obviously, every team would want one of those, and so would we.
And once you have one, that usually makes the other guys better pass rushers too, because teams have to spend a little more time worrying about that one dominant pass rusher.
Yeah, and our guys did a good job, and we have. I thought Missy had an excellent season. And
8 sacks?
Yeah.
That's the most since Bobby McRae, by the way.
But, I mean, when people are getting 12, 14, 15, 16, there's a reason for that. And a lot of it is because they're very explosive and they're gifted. And, that will definitely be – we're always looking for those guys.
All right, that's the defensive line. Linebackers were really a standout group this year. And talk about a couple of terrific additions to the team in – Paul Posluszny and Clint Session, to put them in there with Daryl Smith, I think that was probably the strongest position group of the year from my vantage point.
And I'd agree with you. Clint Sessions played well. He really was playing well, and then he went out with the concussions, and he was an excellent person in the locker room. He was very explosive, both as a linebacker and as a blitzer. But what else could you say about Daryl Smith and Paul Posluszny? I thought... both of them would garner some Pro Bowl consideration. I thought one might get it, but unfortunately it didn't. You could make a case and argument for both of them. They were excellent all year. Unfortunately, Paul had to suffer that injury the other day in the game, which, he'll heal up and he'll be full speed next year. He's a true pro, tremendous addition. I could go on and on about Daryl Smith, what kind of professional he's been around here. He's talk about unsung. He's been unsung his entire career.
Yep. Finally started to get a little bit of attention from some of the, I would call it the fringe football media guy. I think Football outsiders, some of these groups that do some more intensive film evaluation and so forth, gave him, put him on their all AFC team this year. And so folks who spend some time watching the tape and not just worrying about the highlights and on SportsCenter, notice what Darryl Smith does for this team.
Well, this isn't a stretch by saying this, but Darryl Smith, if he finishes out his career like this, will go down as one of the top five greatest Jaguars. I mean, people might argue that, but his production since he was drafted here has been tremendous, and he's done it every year. And he continued it this year, being arguably our best player on defense, along with Paul.
Yeah, he did it this year, and he's done it at different positions, playing outside linebacker, playing middle linebacker, and next time you hear Darryl Smith complain, probably be the first time.
Yeah, again, he's a playmaker. He makes plays from Sam, from Mike, from wherever you line him up, he's going to make plays. And he's been very durable, and he's a true pro, and you want a lot more guys like him. And I don't want to forget Russell Allen.
Right.
He came in and filled in. And as an undrafted free agent out of San Diego State, he's really done a good job for us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll look at the defensive backs and also shift our attention to the offense as well when we continue on here on Jaguars Monday. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. An injury update. Plus, we'll take a look at the offense coming up. Also want to make sure to get your input here, your picks for the Scout's Eye Unsung Player of the Year. You can tweet it to me at Cole Temper or on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. We're back with more right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
Mercedes Lewis is left. Jones and Jones Drew set up in the eye. 84 rushing yards so far. Here's the handoff to Maurice, looking for room, tries to go back to the right. He's got a hole. Here he's at 35. Oh, big hole. He's gone. Maurice Jones Drew 50. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. Maurice Jones Drew to the 20. Stays on his feet to the 15-yard line. Oh, he was almost there. Kevin Thomas chased him down.
That right there gets him the franchise record, if I'm correct. That's about 55 yards,
yeah, about
isn't
55,
it?
56
That's
yards.
He is now the single-season rushing record holder.
And congratulations to Maurice Jones-Drew. In a year that the Jaguars offense tried to get something going so many times, whenever they did, it seemed like it was Maurice getting it done, and he leads the league in rushing, sets the Jaguars' single-season rushing record with over 1,600 yards. He averages over 100 yards a game. He had 1,980 yards from scrimmage. Just a great year for Maurice Drew. And we'll talk about the offense here in just a minute. Terry McDonough's in here with us on Jaguars Monday. Injury update now brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. And let's talk the big picture. I saw a study that the Jaguars' 31 players, they're going back and trying to figure out how deep you can get this, but the last 10 years, Elias Sports Bureau has determined that the Jaguars by far have led the league with the most number of guys on IR in the last 10. So
that can't be surprising.
I couldn't think of anybody, of teams that
ridiculous.
Would hit like this, but 31 guys on IR is the most in at least 10 years, maybe more than that, in the National Football League.
And when you have guys on IR, the first thing you think of, if you want to talk about it, is, okay, I can't use that as an excuse, but man.
Well, the players, there is always that next man up thing. Folks, it was a record. And it wasn't just backups. I mean,
there's a difference when you got Morgan Trent out there, though. I mean, come on.
Who actually made some plays
there. Yeah, yes, he did.
And he leads us right into the defensive backfield as we continue looking at the Jaguars roster and the performance from this year. Looking forward again, we'll continue to take your Scout's Eye Unsung Player of the Year picks. And you can tweet those at Cole Pepper, or you can send them to Jacksonville at Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Terry, defensive backs. And if any position was hit hard by injuries, it was the defensive backfield. The only guy who I think played every game was Dewan Landry, was he not?
Yeah, that's almost a tale of two seasons. You can take the first half of the season when Rasheen and Derek were playing healthy and at a very high level. And also Dwight Lowry and Dewan Landry, they were solid. That's when our defense was rolling. Then three of the four went out with injury. We brought in a lot of backups. We lost Will Middleton, some of our reserves, to injury. So we went out and started playing guys that weren't with us at the beginning of the season, guys like Morgan Trent and a few other guys. But It's just there was a different situation between the first and the second half of the season.
At one point on the field, in the defensive backfield yesterday, I believe it was Morgan Trent, Kevin Rutland, Akwasi Owusu-Ansa, and Trumaine McBride, I think, were all on the field at the same time yesterday, and there may have been another safety in there. But, I mean, you just have so many different – again, you talk about not even guys who weren't pegged to starters, guys who weren't even in the same area code.
Yeah, they were guys that, other than Kevin Rutland, those other guys were all we got off the street.
Yeah.
And they did nice jobs for us. Mel coached them up, and they played well, but they were guys that were available during the season for us to pick up. So no excuses. When healthy, our unit played well. And even when these guys filled in, they played hard for Mel. They competed, and it was just, you know, every team gets undermanned late. You don't want to make excuses like Joe said, but it was a difficult situation.
How will the amount of time that guys played this year impact what happens going toward next year? In other words, to have 30 defensive backs or whatever the number is, you know, that you have to pull from, I would think that has a chance to be a real area of strength for this team going forward.
Well, what it did is I looked out there yesterday and I was trying to, you know, draw some positives, a win for the Weaver family. But the guys that will be backups on this team that have received valuable playing time down the stretch here, that won't necessarily be counted on to have huge roles for the Jaguars next year if everybody stays healthy, but will obviously make the team, those guys get invaluable experience. So that was a positive.
All right, we'll get a little social here with Terry McDonough. Of course, by the way, all of our social media questions are brought to us by our good friends at CopyFacts. Terry, this is from Paul. It says, the comments for an elite wide receiver are all true, but what else needs to be addressed the most?
What other position?
Yeah.
Well, you can look out there as Jaguar fans and see that, I mentioned the one area everybody would want an elite pass rusher. You're always looking for young corners. There's you can look right across it. You can never have enough offensive linemen. But you look at our team and the what do you call it? The social, what do you say?
Social media.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously peg it.
Twitter, Facebook.
Receivers, a position we'll get to that obviously will be addressed.
Yeah, that's an area that I think everybody has squarely in their sights after watching what happened so far throughout the course of the year. All right, so that's the defense, and we'll get special teams and offense coming up as well. But right now, want to roll it out there, give everybody a last chance to tweet it in, give your pick for the Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Year, either Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. And
what do they win?
They will win an autographed football, an actual Jaguars NFL game football, autographed by Gene Smith, and the winner of the Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Year, who is?
Brad Meester.
Brad Meester, the veteran center, the old man on the line, the ultimate Jaguar in many ways.
You know, I talked about Darryl Smith in glowing terms. Brad Meester, what a true pro. At his age and his durability to come in and have an outstanding season for us for 16 games, what else can you say? The guy's a great pro. He's a great human being. I don't use the word great a lot, but just everything he does in the community. Well-deserving of this honor.
I talked with some of the Jaguars' young linemen. In fact, Will Rackley, a couple weeks ago, I had an interview with him, and he said one of the things he learned from Meester right away is even though he's been in the league for so long, he studies his playbook every week as if it's the first week of training camp. I mean, he was in it, being studious about it, and for a guy who's not an overpowering, you know, he's not a bulldozer at center. He's a guy who really thinks the position. You know, he's a tactician, I think you could call him, from that position. I think it's a great lesson for some of those other young offensive linemen to see.
Yeah, he's a deceptive athlete. He's maintained his athletic ability into his 30s. A lot of times that's the first thing to go. But perfect example, Brad and a lot of these guys that play double-digit years in the NFL, they always do a little extra. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I know this may surprise you, Joe, but I'll try to go down and get a workout after practice during training camp, and he'll be in there by himself on the mat when everybody else has left and doing extra, you know, whatever it is, sit-ups, push-ups, stretching, and he's a true professional. And there's, you know, no coincidence that he's playing like he is, and it's fitting that he receives this honor. And this wasn't just my decision. It was a vote by our staff.
We went to committee.
Yeah, our committee, our executive committee voted on that.
Took that into. So congratulations to Brad Meester. We'll search through, see if anybody picked Brad Meester as the winner of the Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Year. A lot of other good choices in there. Guys, you know, kind of a couple of votes for Mincy, who was was unsung at the beginning of the year. I don't think he's unsung anymore.
Yeah, I got some Mincy's here. I got a Greg Jones here, too.
Greg Jones would have been a great choice, although, you know, he was a Pro Bowl alternate, so maybe that effect. But listen.
Makes him sung.
Yeah, it makes him sung just a bit. But
you mentioned Dwan Landry.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of guys that put it out there for 16 weeks that played, you know, good football for us.
Terry could be an unsung hero, you know.
He is. He's come in here unsung and has to spend the hour with us.
See if I can't get you a football.
Okay.
Joe will autograph
it. I don't want it. I want it autographed by you.
All right, we'll take time out. Joe will get his Sharpie out and get to work. We come back, we'll talk about the offense and the special teams. And, yeah, we'll spend some time talking about that wide receiver position as we wrap up the year. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Terry McDonough in here with me for this final hour. Become part of the Jaguars Advantage, Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of your favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. We're back with more Jaguars Monday right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
Ever takes the snap, drops the throw, pressure coming, Plants turns, throws, he's got a man, Chaston West inside the five, breaks two tackles and goes to the end zone. What a throw! Touchdown Jacksonville!
What a throw is right.
Big time throw from Blaine Gabbert to Chaston West yesterday as the Jaguars win at 19-13, finish the season 5-11. We'll draft number 7 in the first round when the draft comes up. So we'll see how the draft process continues. Our process continues here with Terry McDonough as we look back on the season and take a look ahead as well as we take a look at the Jaguars' depth, their roster. And let's talk about the wide receivers, Terry. This was an area that I think everybody, Gene said it on this show, knows – That area needs to get better. Need to have better play out of the wide receiver position. Give me your feeling, your overview on this this group.
We need better. We need to do a better job, you know, all of us in the personnel department, and get playmakers in here for this organization. And obviously anybody can see that was lacking this season, and that will be fixed and corrected in the offseason.
I go back to what happened the last time you had a young quarterback. It's not just about bringing guys in. It's about bringing the right guys in. And this certainly wasn't the only reason that Byron Leftwich didn't work out the way that his draft stock might have indicated. But, you know, you bring in – you got to bring in the right guys. You know, you can't just bring in a guy – you know, guys who can't play. There are a lot of options at wide receiver, though, in free agency likely to be coming out there. I would think that both the draft and free agency would be areas where you can upgrade that position.
Well, again, we talked about a year ago upgrading the safety position and the linebacker position at this time last year. We were very pleased with the results we got there, and I think a year from now we'll be talking about another position. This position right here will get addressed in the offseason.
Yeah, I keep saying, all right, safety last year, wide receiver this year. You kind of, I think, see a similar kind of approach. Got a lot of guys who had a chance to play that position, by the way, this year with the got Jarrett Dillard and Mike Thomas finished the year as the starters. You had Chaston West. You had Taylor Price came in, Cecil Shorts. I know that you like some things you've seen out of Cecil Shorts in terms of his natural ability. What does he have to do to take that next step?
He will develop, and he will become a good player for us. He's the right kind of kid. You know, he just unfortunately battled a hamstring most of the season. Aside from Cecil, some of those other – all the players you mentioned gave it their best effort. And I just know that next year this receiver group will look different.
Is this a good draft for receivers?
Yeah, and it's a good draft. It's a good group of free agent receivers that will be out there depending upon whose team re-signs who. But I'm sure we'll be aggressive, and we'll definitely find players that can make plays down the field and separate and go up and catch the football and help the offense out.
All right, how about the tight end position? Obviously, Mercedes last year Pro Bowl year. This year didn't have the numbers, had the drops. Still blocked very well most of the year, but my thought was he looked like he just needed to get away a little bit and come back, and I expect him to have a bigger year next year. Did have some good catches yesterday in the ballgame.
Mercedes is a true pro. He has a lot of pride in his craft. He works extremely hard. He's one of the leaders of the team. I'm sure if you ask Mercedes, he would tell you he wishes he had a better season. But as you just said, I think next year he'll come back and have the type of year he had a year ago. He's very passionate. He's very tough, determined, and he's still in his prime. So I expect that out of him next year. We'll get Zach Miller back healthy, and we'll go from there.
Colin Clowerty had a chance to come in late and made some plays. And talk about finding guys on the street who can help. Made a play on special teams. Made a couple of nice catches throughout the course of the year. Is he a guy who can help? Is he a jar on the shelf, as Vic Ketchman used to say?
I didn't know much about Colin, and I hate to admit that, but sometimes these nuggets come from out of, our scouting staff does a tremendous job, and Ivy League guy, and he get in here, and the one thing that's evident about him, two things actually, he's very smart and he's fast, and you can work with speed. He did a nice job on special teams for us, and he'll definitely be a guy that, we'll look to help.
How about the offensive line? We mentioned Meester as the unsung player of the year. I think if you took a poll of 100 random fans and asked them to grade Eugene Monroe's year 0 to 100, they'd probably grade it a lot lower than the actual grade should be because of a perception of some struggles in the preseason. It kind of stayed with them. But I thought Monroe had a very good – I thought he had his best year and took a step forward as a player.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely did. I thought he had his best year as a Jaguar. It was just a couple games in there where he might have struggled a little bit, but he – really gave it to us this year. He increased his strength and his weight a little bit from the preseason. And that Pro Football Focus, which I don't always agree with, I read where they had him as a Pro Bowl player this year. I mean, he is hitting his stride at the right time, and he's peaking. And he's playing good football, and he's being a good leader.
And on the other side, you had Uche Nwaneri at right guard.
He also had his best season.
By acclamation, anybody who thought that he didn't have his best year just wasn't paying attention. And
yeah, Uche really had a nice year for us. He played through Nixon, and he's both he and Eugene had their best years, I thought.
And we mentioned Meester. What does Will Rackley have to do to take that next step?
Will, for a rookie, he played through. He's tough, which what you like. And there were certain times he looked very good, and other times he struggled a little bit. He went through his growing pains. The thing you like about him is he's a battler. He'll learn from these other guys, on his left and on his right. He played a lot of football for us as a rookie. I remember at the beginning of the year, we didn't know Vince Manoa's status, so Will came in here. And I expect him to take another step. We all do next year, but he showed flashes. There were certain games where he played very, very good football for us and other games where he struggled a little bit. So I think he had a typical rookie season, but we're happy with him, and he's the right type of guy.
And he had three things he was overcoming, if that's the right word. Position change. He was a left tackle in college. He came from Lehigh, so with every rookie has to step up in level of competition, but he was seeing that. And then also the fact that he had some injuries he was dealing with early in the season. So Rackley looks like a guy who can be solid for you going forward. And
absolutely. I expect him to improve. He's just the right type of guy, and he's a good football player, and he'll get better.
Right tackle is an interesting position for the Jaguars going forward. Evan Britton had the back, and the expectations that he'll be back. You've got Guy Wimper there. Cameron Bradfield played a little bit of right, a little bit of left. Looks like that could be an area that could be pretty competitive when training camp rolls around.
Yeah, Evan played well as a rookie. He's battled injuries the last couple of years. He's a diligent worker, and we're hoping he comes back healthy next year, plays as good or better than he did as a rookie. Bradfield stepped in a couple times when Wimper got hurt, and did a nice job for us. He'll progress. He gives you versatility as a backup. And Guy, again, another guy that played through bumps and bruises, was a backup for us and adds value as a backup. Had to step in and play and actually, played well and had his moments. So all in all, I think it's a position where we need to get an established guy to come in there and take that job.
We'll save the quarterback for the last segment, but I do want to talk about the running backs and fullbacks. Well, you've got some guys who can really play back there, and obviously Maurice Jones-Drew leads the way. Greg Jones is a terrific fullback. But I think looking ahead, getting Rashad Jennings back in the fold is going to help that group with Deji Kareem and of course, Montel Owens and DeJuan Harris and Brock Bolin. got a lot of guys who can not only play but can do a number of things for you.
Yes, and Greg Jones is another one. If I could speak in glowing terms about Greg like I do Darryl Smith, and they both drafted in the same round, mm-hmm. the same draft, but I mean, Greg Jones, anyone that watches him week in and week out, he's a Pro Bowl guy. I have no idea why he's not in the Pro Bowl, yeah. but he's a linebacker's worst nightmare.
We determined that the reason why he was getting into so many scrapes and scuffles was because guys just didn't like to be blocked. I mean, he would block a guy cleanly. He wasn't being, but he would block guys who weren't used to getting blocked and keep blocking him, whether it was Ray Lewis or Lamar Woodley or what have you. Greg Jones just blocks everybody.
Yeah, and this is a league made up of the toughest of men, and he might be one of the toughest of the toughest of men. Not too many people. The word is out on him. You don't want to mess with him. I mean, I think we saw that a little bit earlier mm-hmm. in the season. He's a silent guy. He's a class guy, but you don't want to be pushing him late after the whistle. That's one guy you'd probably stay away from. Choose somebody else.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take time out, come back, talk about the quarterback. Of course, that was the focus of the season for a number of different reasons and will be going forward, as it always is in the National Football League. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, with Terry McDonough filling in here on this final installment of the 2011 season, now into 2012. Continues live from Jaguars Central right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Block there from
Orlovsky's going to get hit, sacked, and the ball is free, and it's picked up by the Jaguars. Jeremy Mitchie's got two on the game. He had 2.5 in November against the Colts. He's got two today. George Shelby recovers the fumble at the Colts' 45-yard line.
Maybe the one of the three names that kept coming up, I went around the locker room this past week, Terry, and asked all the defensive players who the defensive MVP of the team was. Only three names came up.
Okay, well.
Mincy.
Darryl Smith and Paul Pozzuoli.
That's right. And after I pushed some people, I'd say, anybody else? And then they would come up with some other names. There were a few. But those were the votes that everybody got, and I think it was pretty close. I mean, it was, you know, take your pick. I think Darryl Smith wound up winning the player vote by a shade, and I think Pozzuoli won the fan vote. So combine all those and
I bet you I know who won the offensive vote.
That was not a close competition. Obviously, Maurice Drew was the offensive MVP.
Yeah, what a special human being, a special player, and he earned every yard he got this year. He was tremendous.
And saved his biggest game of the year for last, and a Fred Taylor record falls, and Fred gave him the salute. I saw a tweet from Fred on that, so great relationship between those two guys as well, and Maurice is one of Fred. It's part of Fred's legacy now, I think, with this.
It was great to see Maurice's rookie year instead of Fred. You know, Fred's such a pro. He just took Maurice under his wing, and it was great to see that thing evolve and develop. And we had an outstanding season that season.
Pretty good to get a 1-2 punch like that. Let's talk about the quarterback. There are those who will look at what Cam Newton did or what Andy Dalton did and say that's what a rookie should do first year out. That's the kind of thing you want to see out of a rookie. Of course, nobody's ever done what Cam Newton did as a rookie, set rookie passing records. How do you assess Blaine Gabbert's year, and what kind of a trajectory is he on?
Well, I think that, again, I'll go back to what we need to do to help Blaine, and that is put players around him that can enhance him. He had to overcome a lot of obstacles this year, being, you know, the youngest quarterback in the league, the situation he was thrown into. I'm not making any built-in excuses for him. I will say this. The last month of the season, I saw a lot of progress. I was very excited. Kid never made excuses. He never wavered. He earned the respect of his teammates in the locker room, which is very important. He has all the tools we look for. I'm very excited about his future, and I'm not. I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. I think he's got a tremendous upside, and I'm really looking forward to seeing his progress this off season with a true off season, working on all his fundamentals, the different players that are going to help him next year, enhance his game, and help us win games. It's I'm going to really enjoy watching this unfold. And as far as the people that question him or what we're doing, it's the only way you stop that is by winning, and the one way we can help is by putting playmakers around him to help us win and to help him improve.
one of the typical things you hear about a rookie. You know, he got through a rookie season. He got the experience. Anytime a rookie plays, that experience is going to be valuable. If there's a new offensive system next year, how much, you know, how important will have this year have been for him, even working in a system that might be somewhat different than he might work in next year?
Obviously, there's a learning curve there also, but more importantly, I look at it from our perspective. The guy took a lot of shots, was beat up throughout the year, never complained, fought through injuries he told nobody about, stayed in the game, showed an extraordinary amount of toughness, didn't miss a lot of snaps, great leadership the one game he came off the field. You watch to see if he's going to go over and sulk or pout or sit, and he went right on the sidelines and started cheering on the other players. The guy has a lot of innate leadership, a lot of physical talent, a lot of toughness, both mentally and physically. He's had more put on him, whether it's social media or whatever it is, from outside influence, the most I've ever seen a rookie get as far as, call it heat, call it whatever you want. It doesn't faze him. He's a good kid, and he's going to be a good football player in this league.
Now let's talk a little bit about special teams in the couple of minutes we have left here before we get a big picture look at what's to come. Certainly as far as special teams concerned, what a year Josh Kobe had.
Yeah, Josh is like any of those other guys you mentioned. He's a true pro. He's a Jaguar through and through. He's great on the field and off the field. Just been a really good Jaguar.
Nick Harris came in, in a situation that needed repair at the punter position, and while you had some guys averaging 50 yards a punt, and Harris didn't do that, I thought he did a very good job to come in mid-season like he did. He eliminated one of the things that was a problem for the team.
Absolutely.
Was no longer a problem.
People stopped talking about the punter position when he showed up. Did a very nice job for us.
And in terms of coverage, you had Montel Owens and Kasim Osgood, of course, leading the way once again in terms of coverage. I don't know if there's a team that's got two better coverage guys on special teams.
No, and they stayed consistent, and they both had Pro Bowl-type seasons. And, Montel, what else can you say about Montel? He's a guy that we're very excited about. And, I discussed this last time on the show with you. We definitely have to get a guy in here that, as far as a punt and a kick returner, mm-hmm. can make explosive plays for us. We've been lacking in that area, and we need to address that.
Easier to find that in the draft or free agency?
Either or. It's just an area where, I'll go back years. We had Jermaine Lewis in Baltimore when he was in his prime. It's a difference. It makes a difference. It changes field position.
Ask the Bears or Cardinals how much a return guy can change.
Yeah, and we need to address that, and we need to find a guy. He's out there. We need to find him and bring him here.
All right. Well, that's a pretty extensive look at the roster as it was throughout the course of this year. Going forward, Gene has said some of the priorities for the out-of-season activity will be things like wide receiver, cornerback, pass rusher. What kind of guys do you think we're going to see? And how much activity in free agency do you expect out of this team?
That would probably be a question more for Gene.
Maybe for Shad Khan,
yeah,
I guess.
But I will say this, if we can go out and address the areas of need or concern like we did a year ago, say with the safety position and the linebacker position, if we can go out and have the success we did with those positions this offseason with our positions of need or emphasis, I think the fans will be very excited come next fall.
You know, one of the things I keep referencing when people ask about, hey, is the – you have the right guy in there. Yeah. Last year, the priorities for Gene Smith, as stated on this show, safety position. You'd like to sign a couple, maybe draft one. You'd like to fix the linebacking core. And would like to draft a quarterback if he got a chance. That's exactly what happened. So the best laid plans don't always happen, of course. But when you can follow through and accomplish what you've put a plan in place with. It's if the plan's the right plan, you're in pretty good shape. And so we'll see how it plays out throughout the course of this next couple of months before the draft. Terry, thanks a lot for coming in and wrapping up the season with us. We appreciate it and look forward to seeing you throughout the course of the out of season Although you'll probably be pretty busy. You're probably busier than I will here in the next couple of months.
Yeah, it'll be exciting, and look forward to a lot better things in the future coming on the show.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot. Terry McDonough joining us. For Joe Fortunato as well, who will be signing a football for Terry. His appearance fee will be a Joe Fortunato autographed football. Priceless. Or something less.
I'm going to sell it on eBay.
You'll get several page views out of that.
Tens of cents.
Tens of cents could be had from that. Tomorrow night, Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton will be in here with Mel Tucker. And then Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on Wednesday. Back to the one-hour format on Wednesday from 6 until 7 o'clock with Brian, Jeff Loggeman, and John Osher. For Terry McDonough and for Gene Smith all this year and for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, and we'll talk to you next season. Good night from Jaguar Central.